Hey, welcome back to Edge of Indie. We have a great show today. We're very proud to have with us some incredible people dedicated to the awareness of women in business. We're talking to Women in High Tech as well as Pass the Torch for Women Foundation today on The Edge.
Your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indie. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
All right. Hey, let's get the conversation started. I love that deep voice guy. He's awesome. Hey, if you haven't come across Edge of Indie before, shame on you. Wait, what are you doing? Are you living in a hole? Come on. This is the new millennia. Facebook Live, and we're broadcasting our internet television show straight to you. And why we're doing that is for the sheer fact of focusing on Indianapolis entrepreneurs and innovators, movers and shakers inside of Indianapolis, as well as featuring people and organizations that make Indianapolis such a great place to be able to work, visit, and live. So what we ask of you all the time is choose local and choose local often. That's what Edge of Indy is all about. So allow me to introduce our friends of the show, recent friends of the show. To my left, we have Audrey Taylor, who is the president of Women in High Tech.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, see, I did it.
Stop it.
We've been talking about British accents here right before the show. So Darcy has a fantastic accent.
I have a terrible accent.
Audrey, Darcy.
Audrey, raise your hand. Anyone?
Bueller? No.
But I would like Darcy to point out Darcy is the one with the accent, not me.
Let's hear the accent, Darcy.
I don't think I have an accent. I was raised in Michigan, so some people in Indiana think I have an accent, and I'm like, I don't hear it. But
yes, she do. It's American.
American accent.
Well, she's the vice president of Women in High Tech. And to my right is Brittany Simpson, onboarding and outreach manager at Site Strategics. And thank you, ladies, for joining us today.
Thank you for joining us. Token man.
Token man. I'm Aaron Sparks, CEO of Site Strategics, as well as token man for Edge of Indie.
Token man.
That will be my wife's ringtone from now on.
I will be calling you that moving forward. I hope that's okay.
No worries. All right. Well, ladies, thanks so much.
Can I move away?
No.
Blood circle right here.
More.
Women in High Tech was founded in 1999 in Indianapolis, Indiana, and is a nonprofit professional organization dedicated to supporting women in STEM industries. So first and foremost, for our listeners that aren't familiar mm-hmm. with the acronym STEM, what's that stand for?
So STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math, or mathematics.
Yep. Now, there's a lot of programs. In fact, there's a very unique program that you did here just recently mm-hmm. with Mayor Greg Ballard. But tell us more about STEM in the workplace and especially the track that women have in STEM, because it is huge. Correct.
Yeah. I think we've come a long way as far as women in STEM, but there is definitely a lot of data out there that shows that there's a long way still to go. Yeah. So, you know, in STEM, men are employed at twice the rate of women. Mm-hmm. Women represent only about 10 to 30%, depending on the specific field of the workforce and high-tech occupations. So you're talking about systems analysts, aerospace engineers, and so forth.
Right.
And women in STEM occupations, on average, earn less than men. So there's a lot of factors that contribute to why girls don't engage in STEM, or why women drop out of STEM careers, or, you know, they drop out in college or in careers. You know, one of those, just to give an example of young girls, is that girls lack confidence. Mm. So typically, you know, like if a girl is struggling in a math class, she'll be like, I can't do this. And you know, math is an important part of any STEM degree. And so they lack confidence. But there's a lot of reasons that surround that. And so we kind of take those things and say, well, how can we provide mentors for young girls? How can we help support women in their careers so that when they're having challenges, you know, if they have children and they're struggling with work-life balance or things like that, you know, right. How do we help support them to continue to retain women in STEM and promote them and celebrate them?
Now, seeing that I'm outnumbered here, we all know that women are smarter than men, right?
Correct. Yes. Absolutely.
See what I did there?
Tenfold.
Good job. Good job.
But, I mean, those numbers are very challenging. They're very disturbing. You want to have this balance, obviously, and we're underserving women in these technological fields. So you've got a long-standing program of education, but you also have a lot of mentoring groups and a lot of different opportunities for reaching young women, young girls, mm-hmm. To be able to introduce these career paths, right?
Yeah. A lot of times people will say that women have to work twice as hard to get the same results that a man gets. And it's unfortunate, but it's true. We hear every day, even last week, I heard something that just sort of blew my mind about a CEO, something he said to one of his project managers that he wasn't really listening to her because she was a woman.
Oh, no.
And that was my reaction. And so we're still facing challenges like that daily with women. And our role at Women in High Tech is to, you know, I was like, we will find you a new job, okay? We will get you out of there and find you somewhere that appreciates and values what you bring to your industry.
You're really trying to grab the Indianapolis youth, these young girls like you've touched on. And you've got two programs in particular, the Ignite Your Superpower, which we've talked about. We've had an previous show, we've mentioned that one, as well as your Passport to High Tech. Mm-hmm. Can you touch on those and kind of why it's so important that you are trying to reach these younger girls?
Sure, I'll let Audrey touch on
that. So I think it is important that we reach young girls, but I want to be clear, our organization supports the entire gamut of women hit STEM. So yeah, so starting the pipeline early is going to change the whole dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I think we're recognizing that the younger kids come to it with a different approach, but making sure that they don't drift off, they don't start to deselect themselves from the team. So what we are proposing, what we provide through these opportunities through Ignite Your Superpower and then our Passport to High Tech, which is many years in existence, is the opportunity to provide women who have careers in STEM, who have already gone through the process. They did those STEM classes in school, then in college, then they've actually stuck at the career. So when you go to an event, both the boys and the girls see a woman in that role. So it's no longer a conceptual idea that you can be a scientist. It's she's a scientist and I can ask her questions about it and I can ask those questions. And it literally, if you can see it, you can model it and you can become it. And that's what we really believe, those opportunities exist for people and providing more and more ways for people to see women who've taken that path and how they can balance work life and have those successes.
It's conditioning the brain to see something new and then know that you can continue down that road. That makes total sense. Yeah.
Well, you have some scholarships available as well.
Yeah, so we have corporate sponsors who we're always grateful and delighted to have. So through our corporate sponsorship, 20% of the funds that they give, we put into scholarship funds. Excellent. So every year we allocate funds to undergraduate degrees and graduate degrees and award those to women in STEM careers here in Indiana. So we're investing. So we started with those K-12 by showing them role models, and now we're investing through you in college, in your undergraduate and your graduate degree, so that you can come out at the end of the education process and become one of those role models.
Yeah, we also do high school. We give a little bit of money to NCWIT, which is the National Center for Women and Information Technology. Every year they do an aspiration award for high school age students, and we partner typically with SIM Indy to give scholarships to those girls.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's very, very important, that bridge that you're representing there is not only connecting when they're young, when the girls are young and forming their career paths or understanding their choices, right?
Yeah.
But on top of that, staying with them, kind of walking with them in their path all the way through college. That's where that that's where that reinforcement. That's odd.
He got excited. He loves STEM. He's just all about STEM.
That's where that reinforcement came from. and it's very, very important to understand that these type of program and irrespective of particular genre, if there's a need, an organization needs to go into a long-term life cycle with individuals, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what your organization has been able to embrace and recognize is that there's drop-off points. There's places where there's a lot of challenges that are sociological and cultural that you need to buttress against and be able to help them get through this, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that's where mentoring is so powerful. And my personal relationship to the organization has always been through that. It's just opportunity to be in a room full of amazing women who have either experienced your challenge and have some suggestions or who maybe can't do anything other than to say, I hear your pain, but you can get through this. But we really are all about lifting each other up and then celebrating the successes across those fields. So, you know, what's worked in an engineering background might be different than what's working in a manufacturing background at the moment.
Absolutely.
And I mean, tech, we hear that all the time about the challenges of that. But all these have a need to have a more diverse workforce with different ways of thinking. And I think that's why women need to be in these careers.
Well, and when I think back to even my, so I'm 31. When I think back to grade school, when I was in grade school, I didn't know I could be in science, or I didn't know that math was important. Math was just math. I didn't know that that was a path I could go down, because we weren't hearing that in the classroom, and we weren't hearing that from other adults. I mean, because there really weren't that many women in those fields when I was young. Right. So it's just so nice seeing, I talk about her all the time, my niece who's 7. She really believes she can be a doctor and a scientist and an Olympian. And I'm like, yes, well, you can. And go do it.
The path is a little bit more clear, too. So right. Thankfully, when I was growing up, my mom was a nurse. But, you know, she came from a time when you were either a nurse or a teacher.
Right.
Yep. You know, and she felt very strongly that she wanted me to be a, you know, fiercely independent. I grew up in the 80s, you know, so she wanted me to be a fiercely independent woman. She did a great job at that. And I remember she made me take summer math, and I hated her for it. But by the time I graduated high school, I had taken 2 years of calculus, you know,
Whoa.
And I went on to get 2 degrees in STEM fields. And, you know, I can largely thank my mother for that and pushing me and encouraging me that I could do those things. But when I wasn't doing a great job at math, she mm-hmm. didn't just say, oh, well, you know, you should try harder, or hopefully the school will take care of it. You know, she enrolled me in a summer math program and made me do it all summer long.
Well, so often I think, like, you know, when I was in school, again, math, never my strong subject.
Yeah.
And so there were times when it was like, just get through it. Not really like go dig into it and figure it out and let's get you where you need to be.
Right.
But like sometimes it's just like get through it and then find what you're good at. Mm-hmm. And now you really can be good in math. You have all of these resources
yeah.
available. Like, go find a way to be good at math.
Yes. And I think specifically a lot of studies point at Calculus 1. Calculus 1 being where girls hit the wall
yep.
with STEM, and that really, you know, you start getting into limits and you're like, well, I don't understand this. What is this
nope.
rotating around? I have no idea. But once you get past limits, calculus right. really isn't that terrible, but a lot of women like sort of hit that
right.
wall there. And you need that math foundation.
Yeah, you do.
But yeah, I think you also need the people who tell you to stay the course. It's mm-hmm. too often made available to you an alternative choice.
Mm-hmm.
Versus stick the course. Hmm. And I think that's why the organization was founded. The two people who founded it, who were Dr. Georgia Miller from IUPUI, and also Joyce Boyd Gustafson
yeah.
from Eli Lilly, they recognized when they were forming the organization 20 years ago that this needed to be addressed locally. We have, and I mean, they were right, we have a huge biosciences organization
mm-hmm.
in town. We have a lot of opportunities to provide these careers here in town. And we needed to create a talent pool for it. So I think that's where that's where it's important that we have people who saw what was necessary mm-hmm. 20 years ago, put some disciplines in place, and then we found partner organizations to support us along that journey.
Well, there's also something else that I think we're not acknowledging or not pointing out is that there's a sociological change, mm-hmm. a sociological challenge. And inside of education, you've got these pushbacks that unfortunately are pushing them out, pushing mm-hmm. women out of the pursuit of yeah. of science, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not only just that reinforcing agent that what you're doing in this program needs to change the education reaction that educators have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there needs to be a sociological change inside mm-hmm. of the educators. Environment.
Well,
right?
That's why I really like programs like Project Lead the Way. You know, they're addressing boys and girls, mm-hmm. but they're recognizing the need to change the way that they approach teaching kids about different concepts like engineering.
Right.
And they're getting in early, and they're the organization is educating educators. You
there
know.
They are.
In order to get them in the school so they understand. And we've been asked to speak on panels before. I think it's in Pike Township schools.
Yeah, Pike done a good job.
Where. Members of our board members and people in our organization go and talk to the teachers so that the teachers can speak the same language as their students so they understand what sort of things they're learning about. So there definitely is this really great change that I see happening. I think what you don't see happening is what people don't know they do. So you have unconscious
bias, right?
Where, I mean, we experience it every day all the time, and I'm a little bit more sensitive to it and quick to call it out, you know. So I have some friends who will say, well, this happened and this happened. I'm like, that is not acceptable. I don't understand, you know, and it's really even challenging for women to acknowledge it sometimes too. So, you know, we're getting to the point where we have a lot of things that we know that we can address, and we work on a lot of those things with women in high tech, doing modeling, making sure that, you know, when we have a certain, you know, demographic of children or girls that they see somebody that looks like them. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, for children, sometimes that's what they need is like, you look like me.
Right,
I could do
right.
your job, mm-hmm. whether you're a woman or whether you're a woman of color. So that we've done a really good job with sort of addressing some of those things and really try to pay attention to where people are falling out. You know, mm-hmm. so one of the statistics that I think is amazing is that like 1 in 5 women drop out of the workforce who are in STEM as opposed to like 1 in 10. And oh, so wow. that's a pretty big, broad thing. But as yeah. you can imagine, you know, there are a lot of things that are different from men and women. Like, you know, typically people would think, well, you know, women can have children, right? Mm-hmm. And that might be one of the reasons they drop out, because sometimes STEM careers can be a lot more demanding, you know, as far as like the number mm-hmm. of hours that you mm-hmm. work, et cetera. And, you know, women tend not to go back into the workforce. But there's a lot of data and statistics out there, and we try to not necessarily be talking about that all the time, but more like providing the solutions. And I think the biggest thing that we do as an organization that is most impactful and meaningful for all of our members as well as our sponsors is create meaningful connections between people. Anybody that is in our organization or outside our organization, if there's a way that I can help, I help. If there's a way that anyone on our board can help, they do. And when I talk to people individually, because I'll frequently meet with people who are like, I want to learn more. And I'm like, I'd love to tell you more about our organization. And, you know, they're maybe they're a product manager or a project manager inside an IT company. And at some point they want to be a chief information officer, or they want to, you know, be a director of IT. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, let me introduce you to these people. Yep. And they just are so astounded. They're like, really? I can meet this person? And I'm like, yeah. She would be happy to meet with you and help show you how she got there. And so being able to create connections between people, it's not just the support and celebration, which are also important, but being able to like really move the needle individually for women.
Provide the roadmap. In
yeah.
a way. Yeah.
But that's happening organically. And one of our watchers on the Facebook Live broadcast asked, can you also help facilitate employment for these individuals once they've actually made it through these STEM classes and these STEM career reinforcement paths that they have? That's what we're talking about. You have this entire network of support postgraduate into the workforce space, right?
We have people who will literally sit through and go through resumes with you, go through structures with you, go through interviews, but also make recommendations of where might be a good fit for the skills you've got, the skills you want to get, where you've got deficits and how to go about addressing those deficits. There is a talent shortage in this state. So if we can connect the right people with the right opportunities and support them through it, there is opportunity for employment, definitely. And there are a significant number of our individual members who are looking to make career changes. And that's why they've come to the organization. They see like-minded people who are moving through the path that they want to take, and we help them through that journey.
Can you tell us about membership and what that process looks like and all the different levels? And I mean, you've got a lot of flexibility there as well. And I want to make sure that everyone watching and listening knows all about how to become a part of this.
Yes.
So we have individual members that start off the process. So you just join as an individual. You get to go to all of our events. Our events are free or very low cost if you're a member. And all of those have purposeful times to make connections. There is always networking at our events because we do believe knowing each other is the best source to staying
Absolutely.
In touch. We then have corporate sponsors, and the corporate sponsors, so if you go to our website, you will see our corporate sponsors. If you work for one of those organizations, you are therefore a member of our organization, both male and female. We don't only allow women to join. We encourage men to become, because we all need allies to change.
Well, and we can't keep talking to each other about the things.
I was so thankful for that, because, you know, I've got a girl's name, and I thought that might be the ticket. And now I can actually get legitimately.
You know, I'm not going to lie. You're probably going to be one of a very few. You know, like Jeff Ton often comes to our events. And there are a few, and we know who they are. And you will get called out, right? Because, you know, like, thank you to all of the women and the 5 men who are in their room.
The token man.
It is literally like how they have to remind them to say, ladies and gentlemen, start your engines at a certain famous race. We haven't had that many ladies at that race for very long.
Oh,
so we have to celebrate them. And that is literally what the men in the room are. We are very, very proud of every man that comes to our events, because they will move the needle too.
See, forgive me, that pisses me off. Because, I mean, if we're not that.
No,
but
not
the
that.
Sheer, easy! No, for the sheer fact that, I mean, you're trying to break down social bias and cultural bias and employment workplace bias, right? Mm-hmm. There's a need. Anybody that's got a head on their shoulders knows that there's a disparate scenario here. And businesses should be reaching out and be able to help guide and push back on this entire scenario.
Doesn't
right?
it blow your mind that some of these things are still said? I mean, my jaw dropped. Just like, I don't know what it is, but you know, we're looking into some of that as well in our future programming, talking about how men can be better allies. You know, there are some really great people in town, like Julie Kratz with Pivot Point.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, who just released a new book called One, and it's about male allies. And, you know, it's something that's very close to us as well, because we feel like you have to give people the tools they need to be successful. So mm-hmm. you have to give the women the right things to say and the courage to have crucial conversations. You have to give people the right things to say, you know, if they want to be a male ally and they want to stand up, like, what is the right thing to say and how do you do that? So, you know, those are definitely things that we are thinking about and having conversations about.
You literally have one of the watchers on the live cast, Dave Meeker, hashtagging male allies right there. That's
yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
Come on, guys.
Rally up.
Step it up.
Back to membership is that there's a lot of different areas and all the organization. Can you give a shout out to some of the corporate sponsors just to let everybody know who's helping you here in Indiana?
All of them in alphabetical order.
Go.
Oh,
go.
My goodness.
And a British accent.
Transmission.
Yes.
That's alphabetical so far.
Right. Stop right there.
All of our sponsors can be found on our website as well.
Yeah, but I'm starting with the top. So we've got across the organizations, I want to be clear, we have, I think to your point,
right.
our corporate sponsors recognize that they need that diverse workforce. So if you look, they are providing both programming for their female employees to mm-hmm. help them stay in their journey in mm-hmm, STEM. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why they support us. And back to our memberships, we also have collegiate sponsors because we're looking to do that lifelong engagement with us. So those mm-hmm. those people who are colleges that sponsor us, they also provide memberships for our organization. And then we also have, if your college doesn't sponsor us, then we also have a college rate as well. So the college
is like $20 a year. Yeah. I mean, our rates are really, I think that's something as compared to other organizations. It's $100 a year for individual mm-hmm. membership, $150 if you want to do 2 years. So the rates are really reasonable. Our events, you know, if we do have an event that costs a little more. So when we do an event at the IMS during race time,
sure.
you know, it's going to be $35 or $45, sure. you know. So it's very palatable and it's very easy if somebody is with an organization that doesn't sponsor us for them to be able to. It's also really great that sometimes individual members will come in and they'll start talking about us to their mm-hmm. Employer.
Which is my own journey through the organization. So I wasn't born in the 80s or I'm not 31. But it's different math process in England. So I'm very, 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 very young. So I was involved in the organization as an individual member earlier on in right. my life in Indianapolis. And then I did the mom route and started a company. So some things have to give. So I drifted away from the organization. When it was suggested that I re-engage, I now had a company with employees. It mm-hmm. made far more sense to me that time in my life to actually bring the whole company to the organization because the programming we provide is really powerful. And I do encourage my male employees to go to the events. I think one of the things about unconscious bias is I think it's sometimes good to be the odd one out in the room. I think it makes you have an awareness of those other opportunities where some other person might be the odd person out in the room. So I think it is very important that all my team go to the events. And we never have a question about renewing it because somebody always learns something from one of the events that they attend.
And you publicly shame them if they don't.
Oh my God!
I would never do that.
No, you're absolutely right. And let me ask you one more quick question in the space of sponsorships and different memberships. Do you have the ability for companies to actually provide individual scholarships for women that are on their journey? I mean, literally, can you provide that level of education for individuals and be able to provide those goals?
Yeah, so we do offer scholarships and we offer so in addition to the 20% of, if you're a corporate sponsor, in addition to the 20% sure. that goes to the sponsor, the scholarships, we typically offer, we started this, I think, for the first time last year at our Leading Light Awards, where if, you know, somebody wanted to sponsor the Leading Light Awards and not purchase a table and have to fill a table, you know, some companies are rather small and, you know, filling a table of 10 might not make sense to them. So we said, you know, well, instead of filling a table, why don't you just give that directly to a scholarship? Mm-hmm. So in addition to the scholarships that we offer through our corporate partnerships. Mm-hmm. We offered people the ability to give scholarships, and we went beyond just graduate and undergraduate. We also did some technical training things, which are some things that we're starting to look a little bit more at as well, that, mm-hmm. you know, when women are reintroduced into the workforce through STEM, you know, they might not always, it might be a certification they need to take their career to the next level. You know, it might not necessarily be a degree, but I do want to mention that we do have scholarships open right now. So in the past, we had typically only done scholarships on Leading Light Award years, and this year is a non-Leading Light Award year, but we are happy to be able to have enough money to be able to give out some scholarships. So we have two $2,500 scholarships, one for graduate, one for undergraduate, for any woman pursuing a degree in STEM who intends to stay in Indiana upon graduation at a university in Indiana. And so that deadline is, I think, October 31st.
Yes, that's what
okay.
I saw. That's
yeah, so I would encourage. And people always ask, well, what about this or what about that? Or I'm doing this and I'm... We don't have, like, real specific guidelines because... We just want to hear their story.
Sure.
You know, if they have a compelling case, you know, we don't want to put too many stringent guidelines on that. But we do have scholarships open right now that will be awarded at our holiday party in December.
And we'll be sure to share the link on the great. Show Thank notes you. And things as well.
Mm-hmm. What we would like to do is actually also mention some of the great volunteers that have added to your team. What is your volunteer process like? You want to give any shout outs to certain volunteers that have jumped in and as have helped out this organization?
I think, but
alphabetical.
We'll start with Audrey for that one. Okay. So we post all our volunteer opportunities on mm-hmm. all of our social media platforms. You don't have to be a member to volunteer. Mm-hmm. Often people volunteer as a way into finding out more about mm-hmm. the organization. I was out on Saturday at the Celebrate Science event at the State Fairgrounds. Had a fantastic time working mm-hmm. with the volunteers at the table, but then also meeting the young people coming through and hearing their questions and their dialogue. So volunteering is definitely the best way into our organization.
Yeah, and you can also subscribe to our emails that are sent out without being a member by going to our website. There's a subscribe button, and we're always looking to our membership because we feel like that's a great opportunity for them to engage, and yep. organizations are always coming to us. So we're sort of like that central point of gathering point of, can you provide volunteers for this or that? And as board members, it comes to us first, and we typically try to be the ones that go, like, I just did the Eureka Exchange. I did Ignite Your Superpower as a superhero, and that was like herding cats. I was like, I got this. I have two kids. No, they were middle schoolers. It was a little different.
And there were 600 of them.
Yeah, that's intense. I only had five, and I had a, you know... It was challenging, but...
Did you have wine that night?
I went home and slept.
Yeah. Literally 600 yeah. middle school girls mm-hmm. armed with robots.
Armed with an array of technologies, not just robots. We gave them multiple ways into a STEM career.
See, I got a 14-year-old, and that scares me to begin with. And literally, I mean, what an incredible, empowering visual to be able to have all those girls there.
Yeah, and there are a lot of opportunities with our organization to engage in volunteering, and not only with outside causes, but also within, you know, if we need a little bit of help with an executive women's forum, or yep. we're actually starting to put the call out for some committees that we're starting, which cool. I'm really, so next year will be a Leading Light Award year, and I will be the president that year, and we just put a call out for any members who are interested in being on a committee mm-hmm. For that, because that's a big event and it takes a long time to plan. Also, you know, we're starting some different committees. So there are also opportunities within that way. You know, that's how I started. I said, I want to be more, I came to an event, I paid for my first one. I said, you know, I want to get a little bit more involved. And they said, well, volunteer. So I volunteered for an executive women's forum where I helped hand out name badges, right? It doesn't sound very sexy, but I was able to meet and see who all mm-hmm. of these women were and yeah. start to, you know, really understand who the people were, and started volunteering at a lot of events. And then they asked me to chair the Leading Light Awards last year. So that was my foray into women in high tech, because I was the chair
for
that.
Look how far you've come.
Right? In like 3 years. I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, I just blew my own mind. Like, it wasn't a plan and an intention. I just was looking for a place where I felt like I belonged, right? So my background is in STEM, but I currently work in, I guess you could say, marketing. I manage an agency of creative writers called Metonymy Media. So
I know you
know me. And I, you know,
tell Ryan hi for us.
Yeah, he said hello as well.
Cool.
Shout out Ryan.
Right. So, you know, I really wanted to get back into my roots in STEM. So I have degrees in cognitive science and psychology. And I was just generally looking for, you know, where do I feel like is a really supportive organization where there are really great people. And I fell in love with women in high tech, because I feel like I was one of those women. Yeah, I chose to pursue marketing, right? Mm-hmm. I chose not to go to grad school. But what I didn't choose was not to pursue biochem, which is what I went to college for, mm-hmm. because I had a really terrible male professor. And I was one of those women that for whatever reason fell out of that path. Thankfully, I still stayed in STEM degrees and really enjoyed that. But it was just a great organization, and the camaraderie, the ability to be able to easily, genuinely talk and engage with people. And, you know, you could be sitting next to, you know, I met Gail Farnsley and I had no idea who she was. She was a great lady. And she's like, yeah, I used to be the CIO of Cummins. I'm a partner at Gartner now. And I was like, wow. Like, you know, just the ability to be able to socialize and network and be very genuine with other women who really care about you. You know, they don't just care about your job or your work. They're like, you know, how are your kids? And so I think that's something that we offer, that if there's a woman in STEM out there who's looking for an organization to try and sort of figure out her way in the world or have some camaraderie, have some support, our organization is definitely
on top of that. And to wrap up, you also are looking for the leaders that are women in tech right now to give back.
Absolutely.
And to be able to jump into a role there, whatever the volunteer role is, because that stewardship needs to be managed and be able to be given help, because we got to break this bias, we got to break this stigma, and it goes into education, it goes into the workplace, it goes into community, and that help needs to be there all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in that vein, we certainly want to give our listeners a full shout out to where they can find you. So on Twitter, it's Women and High Tech, Facebook, Women and High Tech, and Instagram, Women and High Tech, and website, womenandhightech.org.
Check plus.
That
can
was
I
like,
say one thing on our website?
Yep.
We post our pictures and our email addresses. So any member of our board, any member of our emeritus board, so past board members, you can contact us directly. We are here to talk to the community here in town. We look forward to those engagements. If you've got an ask, we will try to find somebody who can answer your ask.
Fantastic.
Well, you ladies are the nicest.
They are.
Thanks. We are.
Well, we would certainly like to be able to help you from Site Strategics and what we can do from an Edge broadcast. So please let us know. Talk to Brittany and let's see what we can do. As you have future events, we would love to be able to share that with the online community.
We do. We have a Leading Light Award next. Leading Light Awards next October. So
right.
We have saved the date sort of for October. We're still nailing down the final details, but that's a huge event where we look for sponsors. We look for lots of different things. So, yes,
we will connect.
Right. We will absolutely connect. So, final words to aspiring young ladies that want to go into the STEM and technology pursuits. What would you say to them?
They're highly paid jobs, you're a highly in-demand resource, and they offer flexibility if you stay the course. I'm a programmer, and I have been able to be a computer programmer for a long time.
All right. Fantastic. That is fantastic.
I'm laughing at him, not you.
I know.
What?
We don't actually fist pump in England. We shake hands.
Very well.
I'm going to fist pump you after your answer, too. Go ahead.
Okay. I would simply say you can, because I think confidence is a big challenge for any young person, especially young girls. You know, you can. You can do it.
High five. Yeah. You can.
Here.
See?
No, we're supposed to look each other in the eye.
All right. Very good.
Get your etiquette lesson for the day.
Stop it.
All right. Well, check out all of the resources. We're going to have it on the show notes page at edgeofindy.com. And
Thank you,
certainly
ladies.
Appreciate the time.
Welcome. Thank you.
And applaud you for a very laudable pursuit. So keep it going. Keep the lights going. And as much as we can, we're going to give you some lift in the social space.
Thank
we're
you very
hit
much.
You up for that.
Yeah, you got it. No problem. Okay. With that, we're going to turn our attention to the one and only Paul Poteet on the Edge right now.
Real life, real stories. Let's see what's trending in Indianapolis. This is Paul Poteet on the Edge.
Makes me happy every time. Yep.
Both of you.
Are you watching me?
You respond so well
to
that little jam.
Boy, we should have let him know that we had video on him.
So many cameras. You should always assume you're being watched these days. You realize that, right?
Absolutely, especially from your own laptop, right?
Especially when you're on a show.
Wait a minute. I need to do something about this right now. Can you tell how long I'm going to live by looking at my palm?
Just put a piece of tape over it. That's all you need to do.
Is this an urban legend or what? That somebody saw like Bill Gates on some profile one time, and and you could see his laptop
yep.
within the shot, and there was a piece of tape.
Yep, over I've heard the camera. That. I've heard that. Absolutely.
Now, if he puts it, what does he know?
Well, that's an old guy syndrome at this point in time, right? I don't really think he knows anything anymore. He just gives the money away.
Yeah, right. I made it here. Take some. You're in pretty much at that point, aren't you, Aaron?
So. Wow. Yeah. Kind of feels that way sometimes.
Yeah.
But giving money away.
And see, lean in, Brittany, and see if you can get some of the excess spray and pass it on to me. I appreciate that. When it's flowing out of him later on today.
You got it, Paul.
Wow.
Like a geyser. Like a geyser.
You're making me very uncomfortable right now, and you actually have more uncomfortable stories to go through.
Just wait till we get to the Netherlands, okay? That's going to be probably the most uncomfortable part of the presentation today.
Okay, so we got Paul Poteet on the edge. What is happening out in the ether there?
Some of the things the good folks of Indiana have passed on to me, and I pass on to you, it's very transparent, include... A story from Casper, I think this was Casper, Wyoming. Casper police say that around 10:30 last Monday, they were dispatched to a residence on East 2nd Street, a man stating he was from the future and there to help people.
Is he looking for Sarah Connor?
That's right. Is this the sequel, the first one? There's Bryant Johnson.
Oh, my.
Arrested, that's the best headline ever. Arrested for public intoxication. Semicolon claimed to be a time traveler. Aren't you kind of burying the lead there? Should it be time traveler arrested? You know,
because he was intoxicated. Exactly.
Yeah. He claimed he was from the year, and it's very specific, the year 2048. Mm. Not 2525, nothing like that. 2048.
Okay.
And why would you pick a year that's kind of close? Why wouldn't you want to be from the year 3000? Anyway, he was trying to warn the people of Casper that aliens were coming next year. Now, I don't know if that means 2049 or 2018.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my Lord.
Aliens were coming next year, and they should leave as soon as possible. And he added he wanted to speak to the president of the town. Apparently, in the future, towns have presidents.
Oh, my gosh.
He told the police the only way he was able to time travel was to have aliens fill his body with alcohol.
I've used that line before.
Gets, much like Hover Round, it gets me to where I want to go. And they covered him with alcohol, and then he had to stand on a giant pad, which transported him to 2017. A giant pad.
Too many jokes. Too many jokes.
Yeah, but enough about that. But...
what kind of alcohol this is?
Well, the best that they have in the future. I mean, he's not drinking Bartles and James. You know, this isn't. He didn't come back from another period of time. He's right. From the future.
Got it.
Some good stuff there.
Some good, we've got a lot to look forward to.
Officers noted he had watery.
Hang on for
eyes.
30 years.
Yeah. Now, if you and they are, you know, he's been charged with public intoxication, you know, presumably he'll have a sentence. Will he get time off for the time he's already been in the future?
Oh, my gosh. You did that, didn't you? He pulled a paradox. Oh, my gosh.
I've got two of them. I got a pair of paradoxes coming up here, oddly enough. Well, you know, people love the trails these days, right? People love the Monon Trail.
Yep.
Muncie and Marion, they've got the Cardinal Greenway trail. And do you ever stop and think about what that trail is made of?
The trail?
Not one time.
Not one time. Nope. I know. Who would? You just enjoyed the trail. Well, they've used to pave things. They've used everything from cigarette butts to plastic bags.
Okay.
But the Netherlands have taken those butts and doubled down. The country has undertaken a 2-year pilot project to transform used toilet paper.
No.
They're not going into Costco to get the fresh stuff into a blacktop strengthening agent. That's the one that does. It's too good even for the CIA. That's a blacktop strengthening agent.
I'm puzzled.
Okay, Paul, I got to ask you, which way do I go here? Because I got a lot of jokes about dinner and lunch.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
as a reinforcing agent. But I mean, I'm at a fork here. Where do I go?
The first thing you've got to ask yourself, if you're me, when you're reading the story, is how do they know which part of the waste is toilet paper? Who's looking?
Oh, and whose job is that?
Well, it says
somebody who made the wrong life decision.
It says that wastewater treatment plants filter out the toilet paper.
Okay.
And frequently dry it and burn it, much as we do with our grandson's diapers when we babysit. But the but now they've got a fancy system to clean, sterilize, bleach, and dry the toilet paper. And then supposedly then that's high quality fiber. But it seems like, wouldn't you expend energy and money into doing that,
right,
and thus counteract any potential efficiencies one gets from using the cellulose fibers in a way clearly God never intended?
You gotta warn me when you do that, man. Okay, that is now my Paul Petit ringtone now.
Wow. Clearly, in a way, God did not intend it.
Yes, sir.
With his eyes really big.
Jeez.
You think that there'd be more fiber after use than purging out the fiber, right?
Gross.
Well, right, yeah. But then who's, no one's ever going to walk on that on purpose. Trust me. Sorry if you own a dog. I've done that too many times already on the trail. Curb your humans now,
oh,
we'll have to
Lord.
Tell.
Oh,
well,
there's,
anyway.
There's too many places to go with this.
I just don't understand anything happening right now.
They're using TP to line. The road to hell is paved with good Charmin. Or something.
And that's in the Netherlands, right? So we're just never going to walk down those trails anymore.
Good luck to all of those fine people.
Yep.
Follow the kind of yellow brick road.
Oh.
That'll be edited out by the time we post this again to Facebook later on after the live stream. You won't even know about it. All right. I take full responsibility. That was my asphalt. Okay. So I apologize for the paving jokes.
You come like it with a bandolier of dad puns today, don't you?
I'm loaded for bear today. Does a bear hike in the woods? Here is item number three. My arm is sore. I can't even get over there after all these.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Give us the last one.
This is in much better taste because it's all about Halloween candy, right?
Okay.
Now, this is another one of these surveys that I am inclined not to believe because it says it's one of these, infographics. It divides up the country. They're irresistible, right? They have a little map and they show each state the number one thing in a category. And so they show the number one Halloween candy purchased from this, I forgot to write it down. It's some place where you can buy candy in bulk. Presumably, it would be a good barometer of what candy around Halloween time people are buying and giving out. For Indiana, though, it says the number one is hot tamales.
No.
I flat out refuse that.
I've never bought those since I've lived here. Never one time.
Hot tamales, then Starburst and Snickers. And I believe that. I mean, that makes sense.
Yep,
number two and number three.
Kansas has taken Reese's Cups, and I think we need to attack them.
Attack.
We're going to invade Kansas for the Reese's Cup. It'll be simple. We have the same I-70, okay?
Exactly. It's straight
logistically,
shot.
Logistically, yeah. It's
we will
just
take our Reese's Cups back.
Should we take a poll?
Yes.
Well, this isn't even a poll. I mean, theoretically, it is more scientific because they're using 10 years of sales data.
Oh, prove it.
Yeah, right.
Just from sales data, I mean, my 17-year-old, he should have tipped the scale on the Swedish fish, to be honest with you, because
Swedish fish.
Oh my gosh, he is all over that. Anyway, so Reese's Cups is my target, and I'm going to stay with it. But look at that data.
Yeah, see, there's data. Data, whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, but the only theory that is a good one that Mrs. P, my lovely wife, came up with is that maybe it's true because people will buy something. I know we've done this before. They'll buy something they don't like around Halloween. Do you ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Because so you're not tempted to eat it yourself.
Right. If you have excess inventory, which is a terrible thing for any business. But when you're running the business of Halloween, if you have excess inventory, then you're not tempted to eat the profits.
That's right.
Yes, but what kids want hot tamales?
Skittles is, Skittles. Or what do I say? Starburst is, I can see that. My two kids always love getting that at trick or treats. I like Snickers, which I didn't like as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gotten nuttier as I've gotten older, and in so many ways.
Stay in the lane. Don't go to the other joke.
Ding!
Now, if you're in the Netherlands, you're going to
Oh, stop it! Stop it! No! Pull back!
Well, look at the time. We're out of time already. We're out of time. I just looked at the clock on the wall, even though there's nothing there, and I found that we are out of time.
I don't know. This hot tamales, I mean, you see a lot of this stuff. I mean, you see Sour Patch Kids all over the place. I think there's this actually can be extrapolated to states that are looking at the candy usage in kind of like
where are you going?
I'm looking at this as a dating.
You're going down a long bike path in the Netherlands.
Pull me back.
Right
now. Pull me back. Some of this stuff is really old. The hot tamales are like ancient compared to.
Yeah, you're right. Those do go back. And what do I see on there? The lemon heads have been around for a while, haven't they?
Yep, they have.
And double bubble gum. That's been
Tootsie Pops. Who the heck? Kentucky has Tootsie Pops. That's their top.
I would have
one.
Thought it would have been candy cigarettes, but.
That
too
one
easy.
Hurt.
Oh,
sorry, Kentucky.
For all my kinfolk in Kentucky and Virginia, about that.
But. Take that, edge of Kentucky. Take that.
There goes Good Morning Paducah. Great. I was this close.
Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly.
So there are some of the wild and wacky and discussable things on the internet of the last few days.
So right, we're certainly going to have all these links to all these news stories on our show notes. But take us through the edge of weather here in Indiana.
We've been invaded by a pumpkin spice front. It's gotten fall-like all of a sudden. So quit your complaining about those 80-degree days because there ain't any of them in the 7-day forecast. Earlier today, we had a cold front move through, and so it was actually in the mid-60s overnight. We got even more rain, which is good. I mean, we're way behind on rain. So we've had, in most places, anywhere from about 1.5 inches to almost 3 inches of rain across central Indiana just over the last week, which is about 3 times more than we had the entire month of September. So that's good that we've caught up. Today's kind of gloomy and foggy, and then maybe some peaks of sunshine Thursday. Well, look at Friday and Saturday. That's we love fall and spring in Indiana. You get the big swings like that. So boom, right back to 75 Friday, 81 Saturday, and maybe rainy on Sunday, especially in the afternoon and evening. And then next week, it's more like normal. The normal high this time of year is in the upper 60s. Mm-hmm. So it changes pretty quickly in September what the normal is every day. And so when you get in these big streaks like we've been in with the warm temperatures, you kind of forget, oh yeah, it's supposed to be like 20 degrees cooler.
That's right.
Than what it's been last Saturday with that little breeze blowing and the sun in the morning. That was awesome.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. So it's going to get cooler here. Any knowledge about how that, now that we're halfway through October, what Halloween's going to be looking like?
Right now, it just looked like nearly normal temperatures. I didn't see any, I didn't see any early winter weather on the horizon. Our typical date, it's either in the for measurable snowfall, I think it's about November 14th or somewhere around there. It's between November 10th and 15th. So it's possible. It's definitely possible around Halloween time. But that usually only happens about maybe once every 5 years, I would imagine. It just happened about 3 years ago. So we're good for two, right?
Yeah, it's hopefully. Like cicadas, right?
That is the one thing I look forward to in fall is the end of the cicada noise. They can kind of wear on you after a while. Heat bugs, we used to call them in Huntington County when I was growing up, the heat bugs.
I literally have a Day of the Undead Cicadas story I got to tell you about my parents' house. It was nasty.
You know, if you grind those cicadas up and
line the road with them
and then burn them and bleach them, you can line your driveway with that. So you'll have your final revenge over the cicadas.
All right. So dead bug husk recommendations from Paul Poteet.
Those recipes are all on our website. So check that out.
You could also dip them in chocolate and sell them for Halloween candy.
Well, in some places,
we got to spike up the sales.
Depending on where you are in the world, crickets, isn't it?
Like
crickets
that,
and chocolate, or
Exactly. Mental note, avoid Britney's house for Halloween at all costs. You have what no idea. She's just dipping things in chocolate. Drinking
just
her
garlic. People from the Netherlands are going to come over here and TP you, okay?
Wow. All right.
There'll be one less road they can build, but they're still going to do it.
Paul, it's always a pleasure. How do people find you and completely absolve ourselves?
They find me confusing. They find me perplexing sometimes, off-putting, I would imagine.
And Divinity does not endorse, nor do they actually are.
Strangely intriguing, paulpoteet.com, PAULPOTEET.com. Yep. And there it points out into all different directions from within.
Absolutely. Go check out the website. He's doing a heck of a lot of things on a regular basis, and we certainly appreciate your time here sharing those interesting stories with us.
No one's does more things on a regular basis than you. Get off me.
Good thing you are regular.
Goodbye. See you later.
Later. Take care, Paul.
This is Edge of Indy, showcasing Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. Broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Now, let's get back to today's topic.
Yep, that was chocolate-covered cicadas. That's what we ended up there with. And that was all Britney's fault.
It was not.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, we're continuing our focus of women in business and women in tech. We wanted to introduce a fantastic foundation that's passed the torch for Women Foundation. I want to introduce to you some ladies around the table here. We have Julie Petter, Executive Director of Pass the Torch. We also have Samantha Burke, a National Program Director, as well as Ariel Crawley, Director of IvyWorks Indy Women in Tech. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. This is a great opportunity to be here.
Fantastic.
And you got all their names right, so good job.
I'm about to fail miserably now, aren't I?
No, you got them now.
Thank you. Well, if you could be so kind, tell us a little bit about the mission of Pass the Torch for Women, if you could.
Absolutely. So Pass the Torch for Women Foundation has a vision of a world where women are equally represented in all levels of business and government. So it sounds pretty simple, right? Equality. Mm-hmm. But everything that was discussed in your last segment by Darcy and Audrey Taylor with Women in High Tech really does kind of transcend the business world and government, in that women are very poorly represented in both government and business. So we really want a world where women are got an equal pay as men, mm-hmm. and we want to be well represented at the leadership opportunities in government and business. So we work with women as they navigate through their career life cycles by providing mentoring, networking opportunities, and, as you'll hear about a little bit from Samantha, some professional leadership trainings. Mm-hmm. And we work with really women that are either seasoned professional executives, women or men, that really have a legacy to give back. They really want to share their wisdom and experience. They offer to mentor either a developing professional or a female college student for an hour a month. Mm-hmm. They can come in as either a volunteer mentor, or they can be a donor and a mentor both. Those are our 500 Circle members. And Audrey, your previous guest, is one of them.
Excellent.
We work with developing professionals that are either new or beginning of their career, or perhaps they've been in an industry for a long time and they want to pivot and go into a different industry and feel that they have wisdom and knowledge to give to a college student, but they also want to mentor themselves. And then finally, we have a great program where we work with female college students. And these are either first in their family to go to college or adult learners that are going back to college later in life. And they are going to be transitioning into the workplace with their education and their degree, but many of them lack contacts. And so we provide them with mentors and networking and professional development. So the whole thing is to get women, you know, equally represented in business and government.
So you're doing all the things, is what I'm hearing. Everything.
Yeah, everybody get that? That was just like the best dissertation of this program.
It was like slam poetry. It was amazing.
Drop the mic. You're done.
Well, we want to work with people no matter where they are. So again, and people kind of, you know, they're at different places as they go through their careers or their professional lives.
Sure.
And so we want to have a place for everyone.
Oh, that's fantastic. So any other embellishments on this program? I think we've got it nailed down so far.
Absolutely. I would love to talk about our Project Grow student program.
Yep, so that was going to be my next question.
Wonderful. Yes. Well, I read your mind, or I read your PowerPoint slide.
She's been reading it.
So as Julie mentioned, that we work with those students who come from diverse backgrounds. So 30% are single moms, those going back to school after investing so much of their time into their families, into their communities, they're finally going back into investing themselves. And so it's really an exciting opportunity to work with our students. We go into the institutions, and we partner with Ivy Tech, Community College here in Indianapolis, IUPUI, IU Bloomington, and then Bay Path University, which is out of Massachusetts, through their American Women's College. So we're launching a virtual program for them. Wow. And so these students are able to go through different workshops talking about confidence building, negotiation, stress management, things that I wish I had when I was in college.
Absolutely.
And so being able to bridge some of those gaps, the things that they've never really truly learned, because a lot of them have never had mentors before. And so they come together, and what's really neat and that we've found is they've created a sisterhood. And it's something that we didn't anticipate, the sisterhood part of it all. And so this community that comes together to support one another is just such a genuine and authentic result of the program. And so they're able to go through the academic year-long program and then also get matched with really great mentors as well, which is really encouraging for them because they're learning about, you know, what does it mean to be in a professional setting or have a calendar invite or even the soft skills, too, you know, what are stress management skills and how do I actually really propel in the career that I'm looking for? So it's really neat to see kind of like their eyes light up of this really great epiphany of I can be supported and I can get through this.
Well, and Ariel, I want to come to you directly off of that because you're involved with the Ivy Works program. So can you tell us a little bit about that, how it's impacted you and kind of what your journey's been like?
Of course. So I am the director of Ivy Works, Indy Women in Tech. We are a fairly new organization under Ivy Tech Community College. And what we do is we get female students who are interested in STEM, mostly in tech careers, and take them while they're in their program. We give them academic support, wraparound services, and then we also connect them to mentors. So that is where our partnership with Pass the Torch comes in. And then we also connect them to high-paying jobs within Indianapolis. So really just an all-around program to making sure that women who are interested in tech industry get the education, the professional development, and then the chance at employment once they complete.
Yeah, it sounds like you're there for every step of the journey, which
we
is
are.
Nice.
Very
nice.
Well, I love the investment into Indianapolis because there's so many times that you're going to see a program that is, no offense, national, but it doesn't sit down and actually connect to
put down roots, really.
Absolutely, yeah. And be able to match the pursuits of different collegiate programs or other programs.
Absolutely.
So you're very well integrated with the opportunities that are here, and you're able to again be that Sherpa for young college students that are needing that type of support, right?
Right.
Oh, that's fantastic. You have an event coming up.
Absolutely. This Saturday. We have an event called the Pass the Torch for Women Network. It is a free, family-friendly event. It's a fundraiser. It's not a fundraiser. But basically, we're going to celebrate some really great women leaders here in Indianapolis with some awards. We are going to professionally network. This is a great opportunity for the female college students and the developing professionals to rub elbows with some CEOs and senior-level executives here in town. We're going to walk. We are going to shop. We are going to enjoy each other's company. So it's at 9:00, and it's at the Indianapolis Arts Garden and Simon Mall. And we encourage anyone in the public just to come out who wants to learn a little bit more about us. We'll have some great booths, and it'll be a good opportunity to not just get to know new people, but also to pick up some professional business tips and really share best practices. So it's going to be fun.
And shop.
And shop and eat and everything we like to do. So,
well, your history and your background is really interesting to me. And I think it's probably a large part of why your passion seems so palpable to me. Can you touch on that a little bit? Because I think your story is pretty unique.
Well, actually, yeah, I started off when I graduated from college in the hotel business. And I did catering sales and hotel sales. And I did that for a long time. And then I ended up getting pregnant with twins and took 12 years off and stayed home. So when you talk about someone who has, you know, wisdom and expertise in a certain field, but then takes time off or switches industry, you can really find yourselves back at square one. Hmm. So I worked for the American Heart Association and ran their Go Red for Women program. And then when I had this opportunity to get involved with Pass the Torch for Women Foundation, it was really exciting. This organization does fill a need for providing skilled, educated workers, mm-hmm. but it's really a life-changing program for the women that go through the program. If you can elevate someone into a professional field that otherwise would not have been there, right. you're not just bringing her up, you're bringing her whole family up. Our primary fundraiser, Strata Education Network, has a quote or statistic that they use a lot, which is, of the students in Indiana that want to go into a 2 or 4 year education, only 40% graduate in 6 years. And of those students coming out of our colleges and institutions, 50% are either unemployed or underemployed. So we have a lot of educated people that aren't transitioning well into a professional field. And that is really the gap that Pass the Torch for Women wants to address, which is to take these female college students and these developing professionals, take their education, take their passion and excitement for what they want to do, and really bridge them into a professional job.
I do want to address one comment that you just had there and push pause and just really explore that for a brief second. You're absolutely right. You are bringing their family along, and you are changing the course of an entire family and generations to come. Mm-hmm. But it's even more than that, is that there's a ripple effect that happens as more and more women are empowered to be able to change their career and be able to explore the STEM environment and raise the awareness of what women can do in this industry. That crosses families. That gets into friends. That gets into networks of associations that otherwise that message would not be available. So this is a much larger impact than kind of vertically through a generation, which is incredible in its own right.
Absolutely.
You are culturally changing things at a regional level here, and you got to be proud of yourselves because it's huge what you're doing, but there's always challenges, and you're taking them head on. So can you tell us a bit more about the challenges that you help empower these women to conquer? I mean, some of the barriers, the biases in the workplace. Can you kind of unpack that a little bit?
So with our program, some of the barriers we actually help them face head on. So with our program, we offer academic financial support. So we give out scholarships. We assist with transportation. We assist with transportation and also with emergency funds. So any kind of layer that you could see, you might see have a barrier, we are there to assist them. That's our goal is to completely get them to their education. And then in regards to some of the biases and things that they might face in the workplace, really that's where our partnership with Pass the Torch comes in. Through the Project Grow module that the students go through, they're able to get that professional development, leadership skills that really help them, especially with our group. You're a female, you're going into a tech field, you might be the only one there. There might be just two of you. Mm-hmm. How can you both work together? What kind of skills have you learned from Pass the Torch that you can incorporate into what you're learning on the job? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Samantha and Julie do a wonderful job at. They really make sure that it is a real life situation, not, oh, you might end up in this situation. It's very hands-on, so that they're aware.
And life is not, as we all know, not a one-size-fits-all. Everybody's journey is completely different. There's ebbs and flow. There are random changes. There are horrific things that happen that you need to pick up from. And so your organization does a really good job, I feel, of meeting women where they are, no matter what circumstance they're in. It's a matter of filling in those holes, identifying, you know, areas for improvement, areas where you can improve and adjust, and then really setting them back on their path, which I think is awesome. Because life is hard. And sometimes you just need that extra push and that extra help. And I really appreciate that you all do that.
But developing a program that is that recon. That real world recon, kind of boots on the ground, and being able to pass back to other members, hey, this is what we're experiencing. This is how you handle it. Right. That's an organic organism at that point in time. Is that it's
authentic.
It's authentic, but it's also it's self learning, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, so you can really start creating tomes of information and guidance that would not be hypothetical or conjecture. This is real world stuff.
Yeah, and Pass the Torch does a wonderful job of identifying mentors that can really be on the level with the students and really explain to them that this is what you're going to reach. And their mentors are just absolutely wonderful. They're very telling, they're very open and honest. So really anything that our students want to share with them, they're able to reach on any other level. Sometimes Samantha will find out stuff mm-hmm. about our students before I'm able mm-hmm. to, and we're able to kind of tag team and make sure we get them the right resources or even the right mentor mm-hmm. that might have gone through a similar situation that we can assist them.
Well, and I will share, too, we do have that whole category of women that we work with that are the developing professionals. These are women that have knowledge and expertise. They give an hour a month back to mentoring a female college student, but they can also be mentored themselves. There's something about mentoring that really can propel your career as a mentor just by kind of sharing your best practices.
Well, I come from Taekwondo and martial arts, and one of the precepts is when one teaches to learn. Mm-hmm. So it's constantly that as you are teaching to a mentor or a mentee, mm-hmm. then you are not only affirming yourself, but you're also learning yourself all over again.
Right.
So you're absolutely correct. Right. That's that space.
And then those seasoned professional executives support each other organically through peer-to-peer networking that we do mm-hmm. every other month. So, you know, Samantha is working, you know, throughout the year with the students on 7 or 8 different classes that we're teaching, different modules. But the networking is also so key.
Part of your communication is a monthly mentoring chat. It's a pretty unique offering. What's the history there, and who would you like to get involved with that? That's your ongoing podcast and ongoing communication, right?
So we really have this really robust Rolodex of either developing professionals or the seasoned professional executives, many of which are donors in a group called our 500 Circle.
Mm-hmm.
But to give you an idea, we have interviewed Davisha Fredericks, for example, who has her own Speak Up, Say Up nonprofit foundation that helps domestic violence survivors. We also interview women who are key in their field. We interviewed someone last month, Akilah Darden, who is a project manager in a construction industry. So it's different fields, different people who have had interesting jobs that can share their life cycle and their job experiences mm-hmm. with us. So it's been really run the gamut.
That's excellent. How long have you been doing that?
Since the organization was founded in 2014. So
excellent.
Can you touch on the process to becoming a mentor? Because I think this sounds amazing. And what would that process look like for somebody who wants to get involved?
Yeah. And I'll let Samantha address that issue. We have a variety of ways people can get involved, but it's a pretty simple process.
It is. If you are interested in being a mentor at all, and we have men and women who are mentors,
mm-hmm. yes.
You're able to reach out to us at www.passthetorchforwomen.org, so mm-hmm. our website, and we're able to just connect with you, have a conversation, maybe grab some coffee. If you're not here in Indianapolis, then we're happy to have a phone call. But really get to know you and ask you questions about what is your passion with mentoring and just understand exactly where it's coming from, the opportunity. And so we're able to connect and then in turn, it's very turnkey, like Julie mentioned, we'll connect you to someone in our office. You'll set up a profile online and that collects just your information, maybe what you're looking for in a mentor, a mentee. And then past that point, it's pretty turnkey and simple. You'll get a connection email and the rest is history.
And then it's a match forever.
It's a match forever. Yeah, absolutely.
I may want to add, too, that what we want to do is give the developing professionals and the female college students a variety of mentors that they can meet. So we will assign a mentee to a mentor for 3 months. Mm. We just signed for October, November, and December. And after their 3 one-hour sessions, they can continue to stay involved and connect and maintain that relationship. Mm. But in January, the mentee is going to get a different executive. And so over the course of the year, they meet many different people so that they get different perspectives on their goals, and they also have more contacts and connections. So
excellent. Excellent. We want to give you a chance to give a shout-out to some of your sponsors. Anyone that you'd care to recognize?
Absolutely. Our statewide presenting sponsor is Strata Education Network. Mm-hmm. Without them, we would not have our Project Grow program, and this is the third year they've funded that. We also have a very generous gift from the Lilly Endowment
mm-hmm.
and an academic institution in Massachusetts called Bay Path University. But some of our corporate higher-level sponsors would be IPL, the NCAA, One America, Indiana Farm Bureau, Three Rivers Credit Union, Next Gear, St. Vincent Women's Hospital, and those are really just the high-level sponsors. We have an abundance of additional sponsors that support us as well that are on our website. So our organization...
She came prepared, really.
Yeah. I didn't want to forget anybody because really it's the backbone of the foundation, and without that support, we wouldn't be able to provide the services to the students. Or the developing.
And you really want to give accolades to those sponsors that invest in, and they're focused on growth of awareness, and they're putting their money where their mouth is, mm-hmm. you know. And on top of that, offering up mentors from those organizations. So for those organizations and brands, you certainly want to, and you want to give a shout out socially and just lift them, because a lot of times they don't say that they're doing these things, or they won't bring attention to themselves. They're doing it because they absolutely have that focus and drive, right?
Absolutely.
So it's about us as a community to come around side them and give them affirmation. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're doing the right thing. You're doing a great thing in that space. So we'll certainly do that post show. Any final thoughts towards young women that are on the career path of STEM or even haven't even considered it yet? What would you say to a young woman in today's age?
Well, I think Darcy in your last segment really said it well when she said just do it and believe in yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, because you can't do what you don't dream.
Right.
And some of these women, they don't even know what these jobs look like. So just to be exposed to role models and mentors, to see that some of these women that are in our program as mentors have had some difficult paths, and they did it. And so to be able to see that is very encouraging, and it makes it happen. And Samantha, what would you say?
My father always taught me that you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with.
Excellent.
So I think it's very imperative to be able to surround yourself with really great people, because you're only going to be like those people. And so it's really great when you have the opportunity to really sit around. Who are your personal board of directors? Who are people who are going to be your cheerleaders? Who are those people who are going to be your accountability partner? And just really reflect on that and really be genuine and authentic. Mm-hmm. If you ask our students, they'll know that my favorite word is authenticity. and so it's really a great thing when you are able to be that light for someone else. And it's really a gravitational push.
What Ariel, final words.
I would just say, just really move forward STEM, really move towards tech. It's a wonderful industry. There's flexibility. There's room for growth. There's room to be innovative, anything you can think of. And just also, like you said earlier, celebrate those partners. Indie Women in Tech has been a partner for our organization, and they have just been wonderful of opening doors and making sure the funding and support is available to make sure women know that tech is awesome. Impossible.
Excellent. All right. Well, ladies, thank you so much for wrapping up our show today. It's a great themed show. And
we can do anything.
Yay.
That's my call out to the internet.
So on the show notes, we're going to have all of our guests and the links to the different websites and social media. Please lift those organizations up. It's important for them to know that you're watching, that you're aware to our social media community. So you can check out the Pass the Torch Foundation at passthetorch4women.org, Twitter Pass the Torch, numeral 4 Women, Pass the Torch for Women on Foundation on Facebook, and all the Pass the Torch for Women on Instagram. It's all there. Check out everything, and I tell you what, it's so very, very important that employers and Indianapolis companies gather around and lift up women in the workplace, especially in the tech and STEM environments, because they're being underserved, and it's a goal that we should have for Indianapolis to be able to break the national averages and kind of reset the discussion here. So starting from this these organizations here, if we can keep the mantra going, if we can keep the energy going and awareness of what needs to happen in Indianapolis, we're all the better for it and across the board. So thank you, ladies, so much
thank
for your
you.
Time
thank
and
you.
Yeah, you're more than welcome, and we're certainly going to be watching from afar and giving you some kudos and shouts whenever you need them.
Absolutely.
So,
and you need to come out to our network Saturday.
I think we may be able to muster that.
That would be great.
Fantastic. All right. So for speaking for Brittany and myself, thank you so much for watching Edge of Indy today. And we will talk to you next week. Remember to choose local and choose local often. Bye-bye.
Bye.